There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 707. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, the whole Gamertag Radio crew. We have P in the house.
What's up? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Everything's good, man. And also we have Paris.
How you doing? Thanks everybody at Twitch that's watching us right now and everybody that's listening to us on the podcast.
Definitely, definitely. And we also, we have a special guest from Atari Connect. We have Michael Arts, the CEO of over there at Atari. We're going to be talking about this, the Atari speaker hat. Matter of fact, I'm rocking mines right here. This is the Blade Runner edition. So, Michael, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Really glad to be here. And hat looks great on you.
Awesome, man. Thanks, man. Thanks. So, let's talk about this, man. I'm a huge fan of Atari. You know, I even had Nolan Bushnell on our show this past summer. Yeah, legend. Yeah, I was talking to him because, you know, the first console that I ever had in my life was the Atari 2600. So it was an honor to have him, man. So, you know, we talked about the past, but now we're going to be talking about the future of Atari with you now. So tell us a little bit about the Atari Connect.
Well, okay, I'll tell you that every word you're hearing is actually coming through the hat. You're wearing a headphone and a mic. I'm wearing a hat, which has speakers and a mic in it. So I'm hearing you through the hat, and I'm talking to you through the hat. So it's a communication device and also plays music. But, yeah, we can talk about – so when we talk about Atari Connect is all about the Atari Connected lifestyle. It's taking this – awesome brand that everybody loves so much and so many people grew up with, and, you know, sort of rewarding everybody for that love and, you know, sort of paying attention to all the things that are cool and happening in gaming and geekdom, but also introducing this brand to a new generation of fans that are going to enjoy all the new devices and new products that we're working on. So the Kinect division, which is the division that I'm running, is all about connected devices, and that can mean a whole bunch of different things. You know, we can't really talk about the Atari box tonight, but obviously a lot of people are hearing about that. That connects to the things that I'm working on, but it's kind of its own thing, because it kind of touches my world, but it also touches the software side, obviously. But, you know, that's an exciting thing, but better talked about on another night. The Atari Connect side of the business, like I said, is all about connected devices, which means wearables, which means things that are going to be in your home. I can't really sort of lift the covers on too many of the future things, but obviously the hat, as I'm wearing here, and, you know, the other styles that got here, are the first. It's kind of the first product in the Atari life or connect Atari Connect side of the business. And you know, we've launched the website AtariLife.com, which is where you can buy the hats right now. But Atari Life is really shorthand for Atari Connected Lifestyle. And we are going to be expanding to include a whole bunch of other products that we're working on, but also bringing in a lot of the licensed products that are, you know, more lifestyle oriented. You know, so all the hats and t-shirts and plushes and games and things like that, that are all really fun, will all come together ultimately in the Atari Life store.
So I'm in my 40s and I grew up, Atari is what got me into gaming. And you're now talking about Atari basically branching out and being able to do other things in our connected world now, so to speak. But how important is it for you and the company to be able to use that Atari name and now introduce it to a new generation of people? Because there's obviously the younger generation that are like, Atari, what is that? We don't know what that is. Whereas an old man like me is like, hey, I remember the 2600. I remember Blade Runner. I remember all these things that were connected to Atari.
Yeah, look, I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, first console, 2600, first game was that the tank battle game?
Combat,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we all moved on, and you know, we got Space Invaders and Centipede and Asteroids and Donkey Kong and all that other good stuff that came, you know, up through the 2600. But yeah, same as you, right? So when I came to the business, and I come from, and I've been in gaming and esports and all that for a long, long time. I've been, you know, I came up through sort of traditional media and sports, and my clients were always the game companies. And then I got into the game business proper, you know, and I was running the World Cyber Games 10 years ago doing esports before esports was a thing, then sort of sliding into, I was at Turtle Beach. I was part of the team that grew Turtle Beach from a little bitty company into a, you know, a big monster. And then, you know, got caught up, by the guys at Atari when they wanted me to, you know, get into the devices with them. So as I watch this whole sort of progression, I'm like a contemporary of you and you guys, right? But I have kids and I see what they're doing. And, you know, I mean, so, you know, when you look at the Atari fans and potential fans age, that's sort of like the rough age that I always look at it at. So anybody like over 35 is like us, right? We all remember it from our childhood. We all grew up with it and we all have really great memories about it. And that's one of the great things about this brand is, you know, it's a brand that everybody knows. It's got huge recognition all around the world. And you know, a lot of people equate the brand with just, you know, unbelievable great memories, whether it was opening something under a tree or sitting around the family room with a bunch of friends or family and having a lot of fun. You know, and the games are sort of evergreen, right? I mean, they're they live on, right? Everybody remembers all the classic games and really enjoys them. And then you've got sort of the under 35 crowd where some of them obviously know what Atari is and some of them are into retro, and retro is obviously very big and it's coming back in a big way, and a lot of things that were cool in the 80s and 90s are cool again. A lot of, you know, brands and products are being reinvented. You know, when we talk about the Atari box, we always talk about the you know, the Atari box is like a Mini Cooper, right? The same way, you know, you had a Mini Cooper back in the 70s and 80s. You want to update it and make it, you know, make it new, but also maintain some of that original flavor. So the idea of the whole Atari Connected Lifestyle initiative and the Atari Connect piece of it all is to bring devices that bring fun, bring that lifestyle component into play. And obviously we've got a brand where we're very lucky. We've got a brand, and we're probably one of the few brands in gaming that can sort of transcend pure gaming and really have credibility as a pop culture and entertainment brand, and a lifestyle brand. So, you know, when we sort of look at the products that we're doing and we look at the products that we allow to carry our name, whether it's products that we're making ourselves or it's products that we're creating, you know, with our licensed partners, we're being very careful about what we put the name on, because, you know, we care very much about this brand, but we're not going to be able to get, you know, this younger generation to care about it the same way if we don't give them products that they're going to care about and that they're going to love and that are going to create an emotional response, which is a great segue into the speaker hat. You know, the speaker hat is an experience product. It's one of these things where if you just talk about it as a hat with speakers in it, you know, oh, it's a baseball hat and it's got speakers. You know, it sounds kind of goofy, right? And you can go on Amazon and you can find, you know, goofy products that, you know, have speakers in them. And, you know, we basically, and look, and I come from Turtle Beach, right? I mean, I worked on, you know, some really high-end headsets while I was there, you know, $300 Call of Duty headsets, things like that. This product is audio equipment. And Danny, how did it come packaged?
nice little box. Actually, you know, I should get it. I like the box. It was really, it looked really legit, man. I was like, man, this is cool. I thought it was just going to be like inside of a bag and that's it. No, it was like very, very cool package, man.
It was like a Beats box, right? I mean, it was like heavy duty box, sleeve. I should have grabbed one too. But yeah, I mean, it's in a sleeve. It's got the cool sticker packs in there. You know, there's a Blade Runner sticker in there. There's an Atari sticker in there. You know, nice presentation. You slide that box off, and it's one of those boxes where, like, there's that suction, like when you buy an iPhone, right? And you're trying to lift that top off, and the hat is presented there, and it's presented like high-end audio equipment that just happens to be shaped like a hat, right? So that's the approach that we're taking with this particular product. But the idea is to make products that are fun and engaging, and, you know, the best videos we've got with the hat are when we show them to people and we say, hey, put this on, and then you play the music and they're like, oh my God, where's the music coming from? And Danny, I don't know if you got a chance to play around with it with some music, but it sounds really, really good. You know, these hats, like I said, they sound goofy, but they sound goofy as a concept, but they really are very cool. And they do a lot of things that headphones don't do. They let you, obviously, you can take and make phone calls. You can listen to music, which headphones do. But you're not shutting out the world. You know, I mean, obviously, there are times. Look, you guys are wearing headphones right now. You're wearing cans. You want to shut out the world in certain situations. But in other situations, you know, when you're out and about, you're walking. You know, like I'll wear this hat when I'm walking the dog or riding my bike, and you can still hear the world around you. You're not going to get run over by a car because you didn't hear it coming, right? You can listen to your music. You can keep the music low, and it's a personal experience. You can make it loud, and it's like a boombox. You know, I mean, I think, you know, the fear that, you know, and I've seen some fears on social, you know, about how, you know, it's inconsiderate people are going to be inconsiderate no matter what, you know. So anybody who's going to blast music, whether it's with a hat or with a portable Bluetooth box or whatever, they're going to be obnoxious. It's not, you know, the hat is not the problem. The person is, right? But the beauty of this product is it sounds really good. It does a lot of cool things. We have features that are coming that we haven't, you know, unleashed yet. You know, we have like a multiplayer mode that we're going to be able to work on. And I should mention also that we developed this hat in partnership with a company called AudioWare, which is they developed the technology. They have the patent for the hat with the speakers in it and the Bluetooth connectivity. And they're the ones who are building the hats for us. And we're working really closely with them because it's very important to both AudioWare and Atari that this is not seen as, you know, kind of a goofy novelty product. We want it to be seen as, you know, a practical lifestyle product, something that you can really enjoy. You know, it's wearable technology. It's not, you know, it's not just a hat with speakers in it. That's, you know, too easy to dismiss.
Right. Quick question. How important was co-branding with an iconic movie that would be coming out, such as, you know, Blade Runner? I actually just saw it this past week with Danny in San Francisco. We were amazed. How did that whole process go where you guys decided, okay, we want to co-brand with, a franchise like Blade Runner? And how did that whole process wear out?
So it's a great story. It's a little bit, you know, yeah, have you ever heard that saying, you know, the definition of luck is when preparation meets opportunity, right? So that's really the story behind all this. So there was a bunch of things that were happening already, which is the preparation part, right? So we were preparing the hat. We were working on the hat. We had sort of the core designs that, you know, we've been publishing. So, you know, we've got the classic snapbacks, you know, the black and the blue snapback designs. We were working on these. We have the Fuji Blackout, which is the black on black design, you know, and this was our core collection. We got a couple of other designs that, you know, will be revealed before too long, but that was the core collection that we were working on. And, you know, there was a bunch of things going on. We were, you know, we had a really good launch in the spring of the new Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch. That was doing really well. We started, finalizing the designs on the hats. We knew that the Atari box was coming. You know, the world didn't know yet, but we knew it was coming. We were working on that. E3 was approaching, and then in the middle of May, the Blade Runner trailer drops, right? And you know, there's this beautiful 4-second shot of the biggest, most beautiful Atari logo, you know, in neon blue, like this hat, against black, you know, that you've ever seen. And it's one of those things where, you know, Atari being this iconic, recognizable brand, you know, if you think about the age, you know, the 35 plus crowd that I talked about before, that's who is making, you know, movies nowadays and television shows nowadays. And we're constantly getting product placement and brand placement requests. You know, you name it. I mean, you know, obviously Blade Runner, which we're talking about, but, you know, things like Ready Player One will be part of that. We'll be part of, you know, we're part of The Walking Dead. We've been in The Goldbergs. We've been in, what's that other show? Stranger Things will be part of that. You know, so there's all sorts of, you know, constant requests that come into our office for, you know, brand usage, product placement, things like that. And, you know, just like with the licensing I was talking about, you make your decisions, you know, you're careful. You don't want to just be in any piece of, you know, video or, you know, any piece of junk that somebody's producing. But obviously we knew we were part of the original Blade Runner. So way back when they first asked, we said yes. And it was one of those things where it really was kind of, it was kind of unexpected and beautiful in the way it all came together, because it was one of those things with that Blade Runner movie where obviously really, really intense art direction and art design. They were going to create the world. They weren't going to listen to us. Like, we had no say. We gave them the branding, gave them the permission, and trusted, right? And then, like I said, that trailer came out. And it was crazy because the trailer came out and, you know, Blade Runner, you know, their master licensee, NECA, which makes a lot of the action stuff for, you know, all the various movies, you know, they kept getting a ton of requests. Oh, you guys are going to do some Atari stuff, right? And, of course, people were asking us, oh, you're going to do some Blade Runner stuff, right? So it all sort of came together. We called them, they called us almost at the same time. And we said, hey, you know, let's do a swap here. And that's basically what we did. We gave them the rights to make some stuff. They gave us the rights to make some stuff. And we knew we had a great product that was perfect for it. We had a wearable tech product. And we were like, what could be better? So, you know, we scrambled and we turned, you know, we created this design based on, you know, we wanted to capture that neon blue, like in the trailer. But we also wanted to capture a little bit of flavor, make a hat that kind of looked like it belonged in the world. So we decided to go with the katakana kanji lettering there, you know, with the Japanese lettering, you know, Atari. Because, you know, that's a big part of that Blade Runner world. And, you know, and then just, you know, started building this particular design top secret. And then E3 came. And, you know, that was two or three weeks after that trailer. And we announced the Atari box. And I think, you know, we probably got more press than Xbox X did, right? I mean, people were going nuts for the Atari box. It was crazy. We didn't expect it to be that big, but it was huge. And we were really, again, thankful. But it was, once again, all these things happened because we were prepared. We had things going on. So the opportunity came along, and we were prepared for them. Fast forward another month from June to July, you know, we went and, you know, we had struck up this relationship with Blade Runner. So we got involved with Blade Runner, and they had their big San Diego Comic-Con unveil. They did that Blade Runner experience in the gas lane. And we did a bunch of video there with influencers and things, and you know, just kind of use that as yet another opportunity and a springboard to announce bigger hats and announce the big way. We got a ton of really positive, really excited press, and again, it was all working together really, really well. And then obviously, fast forward to, you know, a couple weeks ago, obviously the movie was about to come out. Participated in the press junket that they did in L.A. and you know, we were giving away information sheets and you know, non-speaker hats to reporters and people at the junket. And then, of course, we unveiled the speaker hat. We worked with Hip Hop Gamer and who's a great ambassador for a product like this. And we unveiled that at that conjunction with the movie and put them on sale last week, and they've been selling, and they've been selling like crazy. And they're, look, I'll be the first to admit, they're not inexpensive. You know, Blade Runner one is $139.99. The standard ones are $129.99. You know, obviously we want to get the price down eventually, but for right now we're really happy, and obviously you know, the product holds up. I mean, it's a quality product. We're going to start sending them out to reviewers and you know, get them out there for unboxings and things. And I'm not worried at all about it. Like I said, I spent 6 years at Turtle Beach working on audio, you know, and I know this is a quality audio product, so I'm not worried at all about the reviews. They're going to be really good. And, you know, and it's the product's not for everyone, but if you can appreciate the product, you're going to love it. You know, I mean, if you understand what it's for and you understand how you can use it, you know, it's great for streamers, right? I'm talking to you guys. It sounds good. You don't have to wear the cans here, and you can eat, and it works really well. But, you know, it sounds great listening to music. Like I said, you know, and people are using them. You know, we're seeing the videos show up on Twitter and places like that, and on Facebook. You know, guys are jogging with them, and, you know, guys are using them to talk on Skype and on Twitch and on stream things. So, you know, it's all good. I think it's just a matter of getting that product out there. And, you know, like I said, I mean, trolls are going to be trolls, and the haters are going to be haters, but, you know, the people who like it are going to like it a lot, you know, and yeah. That's really what it boils down to. I mean, you know, there's always going to be people who are going to be, you know, talking trash. But you know what? I'd rather be talking. It's the old, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? At least people are passionate. If they're passionate because they like the thing, or they're passionate because they don't like it, at least they're talking about it. You know, I would be really worried if they weren't talking about us, right? That would be the big, that would be the ultimate, you know, scare for me. It's like, oh crap, they're not talking about Atari, they're not talking about our hat, they're not talking about us, you know. But luckily, you know, they are, and you know, look, I mean, I think there's a lot of things, like I said, happening with the Atari brand and with our various products, both digital and physical, and you know, it's pretty exciting time to be working for Atari. I'm really, again, you know, for me, it's also luck, right? I was prepared. I had the right, the timing was right when they gave me a call, and I'm glad to be here.
Awesome, man. Now, I know Paris and P, you guys always working out. I think this is like perfect for you guys. You know, it's like, you know, while working out, instead of wearing headphones, you just wear the hat, man. You know, listen to your
more
music.
More guilty
stuff,
that so. I couldn't get a couple more out.
Nah, don't worry about that. It's all good. So how long is the battery life on this? Because, you know, today I've been charging this the whole time. And then when, earlier today I went out, and, you know, the quality was really good, man, while listening to, like, music and stuff, man. But how long is the battery life on this?
I'm curious. They're saying it's about 6 to 8 hours, but, you know, don't quote me on that. I don't want to be but it's pretty good. I mean, I've used them for a long time, and I, you know, they come charged out of the box, and you can usually, you know, get a couple hours out of them right out of the box. And then, you know, I charge it overnight, and, you know, I've gone days on end without recharging. So, you know, I'm not using it constantly. And I assume, you know, using it this way where I'm talking a lot versus just listening, it's probably using more battery than others. I think it depends on the use, but, you know, I think, you know, I'd like to think that 6 to 8 hours is a fair amount, but could be more, could be less. I'm still learning.
A mileage may vary.
Now, another question that I have too is, gaming wise, like, how can this will work for gaming?
It'll work great. It'll hook up, you know, anything that's got Bluetooth, you know, PC or mobile is great. You know, obviously PlayStation has like their proprietary Bluetooth, so it doesn't work with that unless we go out and we get, you know, we decide we want to make a PlayStation hat, which could happen. And then Xbox doesn't have Bluetooth for anything other than the controller. So, you know, that's not probably going to work there, but anything that's Bluetooth, it'll work. And you know, like, you can get these dongles on Amazon, so anything that has like a jack, you can plug it into if you don't have Bluetooth. But yeah, I mean, it works with a lot of things. Like I said, anything that's Bluetooth. But yeah, like I said, you know, using it for streaming or Skyping, you know, or you know, any kind of any of the chat, you know, any of the communication programs, it'll work with all that stuff.
Yeah, or listening to our podcast, that would be great too. Yeah. Any other questions, guys?
Yeah, actually, because I love to go back to the branding. I know you're not talking about the Atari box or any of the other stuff today, but you've obviously hinted at future products coming from Atari. So as I'm listening to you talk about this, the thing that kept running through my head is, what is the vision 10 years from now? What does the roadmap look like 10 years from now? Do you envision this to be a brand that would rival something, or is it at least inspiring to have this brand rival something like a Logitech or a Samsung or an LG, so that when I walk in a store and I see that Atari name on a particular product, I know that's something I can trust. I know that's something that potentially could be innovative, and that's something that I'm going to be interested in and want to check out compared to your potential competitors.
In a word, yes. Yes, I mean, obviously, you know, look, the idea, though, like with, at least with the product, with the hardware product that I'm working on, the objective is not to be, you know, the best, most expensive, most, you know, technologically advanced. The objective is to be something that is fun and that is something that our target audience will appreciate and enjoy having. The quality has to be there. I mean, don't get me wrong. Quality is important. But, you know, I mean, look, I could have made this hat a $300 hat, but that makes no sense, right? The idea is to create products that are fun, that are, you know, apply to different lifestyle and entertainment applications, and you know, associate the brand with, you know, that type of you know, associate the brand with the pop culture that has now evolved since the brand first came up back in the 70s, right? You know, the idea is to acknowledge that, you know, look, it's not just about gaming, right? It's about all this stuff. You know, I mentioned, you know, so entertainment things like movies and TV and, you know, and Hulu and Netflix and all that stuff, right, is all, you know, part of it. And then, you know, you got, you know, comic book movies and Blade Runner and you know, Pacific Rim and, you know, you name it, all this stuff that has sort of become part of like the pop culture type of entertainment that, you know, the under 35 audience is engaged in. And then you think about some of the things, like I know what some of the products we're working on are. So there's more wearables, there's some connected home things, but they're the kind of things that, again, they work with gaming, but they work with other parts of entertainment too, and work with computers and work with, you know, televisions and you know, different things that, but it all comes back to sort of that entertainment lifestyle, pop culture lifestyle, sort of gamer and geek lifestyle that, that we're trying to represent, you know, and it's, you know, things like, you know, like I said, the license stuff, you know, I mean, the t-shirts and the hats and the stuffed centipedes and all the other, and the keychains and the wallets and all the other stuff that, you know, that people find fun, or, you know, that people kind of want to identify with. You know, what's great about the Atari brand is, you know, if you're wearing it, it's sort of, you're sort of self-identifying and saying, hey, I'm a gamer and I'm kind of a cool gamer and I've been a gamer for a long time and it's part of me. And that's kind of what our brand represents. You know, it's the brand represents fun and good times, and you know, it works for this kind of pop culture lifestyle positioning that we're trying to build out.
Yeah, I was I'm curious because I know you said that, you know, you guys are looking for, you know, you're looking towards other things, you know, other wearables or fashion accessories and stuff like that. I'm just curious if, you know, can we see like a centipede or a Pac-Man related hat? I'm pretty sure that those are all trade secrets. So I'm just curious if you have other things coming down the pipe using other iconic Atari, you know, franchises.
We do. We moved some things out of the way when the Blade Runner thing came along. But, you know, I mean, there are, I'll give you some clues. There are some anniversaries coming. There are some franchises that have been reborn that are doing very well. There are some others that are about to be reborn. You know, I mean, the great thing about Atari is we've got, you know, the Fuji and our umbrella brand, but we've also got great franchises, you know, that we were just talking about. And, you know, the same way that, you know, a franchise like Centipede can be reimagined as a really good comic book, right? You know, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen the Centipede comic book, or, you know, that IDW I'm going to keep using Centipede as an example, can take Centipede, but also Asteroids, a couple of others, and turn them into really good board games. You know, I mean, it just takes a little bit of imagination and a little love and appreciation for the brand and for the franchise to spin it out and do some cool things with it. So again, the answer to your question is yes, there will be more designs. And, you know, I mean, we're always going to have like sort of the core ones, like the ones I held up before with the logos. But then we'll also always do sort of these limited editions like the Blade Runner, like some of the others that are coming. And, you know, hopefully it works sort of like, you know, sort of like sneaker drops, right? Where, like, you know, you can create an excitement about a hat that's only going to be around for a little while, and then it goes away. And then even, you know, even something like, you know, like the blue one, like maybe this goes away for a little while and, you know, we do a red one or we do a green one or, you know, whatever, you know. Or you just change it a little bit, right? You know, it becomes, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, you do Michigan colors or something, right? You do navy and you know, and corn, right? So it's like you do things, you create a demand, you make them special. You know, there's things that we can do to improve the hats. We obviously can get the price down with so all that stuff is, you know, coming. I mean, this is, you know, it's a great product that, you know, I think has a lot of directions we can go. Plus, there's a lot of other partnerships out there as well. So things that, you know, we have our franchises, and then we have, you know, a lot of people that we're talking to out there in the world that, you know, pretty darn good and appropriate on a hat, right? So, you know, but, you know, obviously the Atari brand gives it some credibility if you go to certain partners and put their mark on the front, you know, you'll put an Atari thing on the side and, you know, and then you do a co-branded piece. You know, this one happened, you know, the Blade Runner one happens to, you know, get the Fuji on the front because that's sort of how it appears in the movie. But there's other franchises that we would do that, you know, might be a little bit different.
So is this also waterproof, washable? How's that going to work?
Well, look, I mean, it's not, like, I wouldn't throw it in the washing machine, but it's obviously cleanable. I mean, it's a quality hat. I mean, the hat is on par with, you know, a $40 New Era hat, right? I mean, it comes out of, the hat part comes out of the same factories as, you know, the top hat company hats. But we are working on it. It's not fully waterproof, but obviously it is protected. There is some plastic in there, things like that. You know, don't submerge it. But, you know, obviously, you know, I wouldn't wear it in a thunder, you know, in a downpour, but, you know, a little sprinkle is not going to hurt it, I don't think. Okay. But, you know, but we are working on different things. You know, there's modularity ideas. There's obviously, there is waterproofing ideas. We had a great idea from someone, I don't know if they were Twitter or Facebook or whatever, but, you know, someone asked about, you know, doing, you know, cruelty-free hats, you know, so like doing a snapback like this guy that, you know, doesn't have any wool, doesn't have any cotton, you know, is all synthetic. So things like that are interesting, and we'll explore all that stuff. And I think a lot of that, you know, could get dictated by some of the partnerships that we do too as well. So, you know, I mean, there are other brands that we're talking to. There are sports properties and leagues that we're talking to. There are other entertainment franchises we're talking to. There's a lot of directions you can go with this. And obviously, you know, pardon the pun, but I don't want to tip my hat.
All right. Any other questions, guys?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm stoked.
Cool. So for more information, Michael, you can mention the website and people could go and check it out.
Yeah. The place to go for the Atari speaker hat is atarilife.com. All of our social is Atari Life. So, you know, Twitter and Facebook, Atari Life, Instagram, Atari Life, everything's Atari Life.
Awesome. All right. But thanks a lot, man, for coming over here.
Yes.
And
thank you.
We'll talk some more in the future, man, for sure.
I would like that. And look, you know, I'd be happy to give you guys some scoops on some of the new things that are coming. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Thanks a lot, man. Yeah. Thanks, no problem.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Game on. Don't miss a second of NFL on CBS. With CBS All Access, subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices, like the Xbox One, of course, and tablets. From Thursday night football to Sunday doubleheaders, we have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. CBS All Access subscribers can also stream over live events like special award shows, news, and more. And just like me, I'm a fan of Big Brother. I've been watching that. And also I've been going back to the past seasons and also watching Star Trek Discovery all on CBS All Access. And get access to over 9,000 current and classics episodes. Start your free trial right now. All you have to do is go to cbs.com/NFL. GTR listeners, one more time, free trial. Take advantage of this. Go right now to cbs.com/NFL.
I mean, I guess I'll talk about this. You know, it's been a little slow with gaming right now. I think we're kind of in that calm before the storm. But I've noticed that it looks like Microsoft is starting to send out Xbox One X's to people, you know, to like reviewers and things like that. And I haven't watched the video yet, but I know Hardware Canucks, they're doing a teardown of the Xbox One X. So it's just that reminder that it's getting close. You know, it's starting to get close. It's almost here. And the reason I bring that up is, and I'm sure I'll get slapped on the hand by someone listening to this, that, you know, our good friend Marsha over at the Mommy Gamers, she was talking about how she's not going to be able to get one at launch. You know, she's going to have to get one later. So I responded to her and I said, it's probably better to wait until next year anyways, when we'll actually start seeing games come out for it that can take full advantage of the, you know, the power of the Xbox One X. So I'm going to throw it to you, Danny, since you're getting one at launch. Is that a correct statement? Should people get it right now? Or do you think it'd be better off if they wait till next year?
I think it depends on who you're talking to. Like her, she's just a fan of Xbox, so I can see why she wants to get a day one. But if it's someone that is just like debating, like, I don't know if I should, they could wait until next year. You know, it depends on who you're talking to. Like Marsha, I know that from the Mommy Gamers, make sure to go over there to her Twitch channel. She's there every morning streaming and stuff. Shout out to her. But she's a huge Xbox fan, like huge. So I know why she's kind of disappointed about not getting the console on day one. But, you know, others, hey, they could wait. You're not, it's like, it's still going to be there. You could buy it next year. Maybe it will be cheaper even next year. Who knows?
Well, that's kind of my thinking. I mean, if you already have an Xbox One S, yeah, you're going to miss out on 4K. But next year, like I said, you'll see more games start to come out for it, some exclusive titles that'll probably take better advantage of the actual power of the Xbox One X. So I don't, and this is obviously I'm just speaking for me personally because I'm not getting one this year. I don't see the need to rush out to go get one. Hey, if you got one pre-order and you get it, God bless you. Knock yourself out. Enjoy the 4K that you're going to get from it. But like I said, I think like when we're sitting at the Galen Center next E3, that's when out you'll start to see games and you're like, oh, wow. Wow. I didn't know it could do this. You know what I mean? I think that's when you're really going to start to see it. Because part of it what made me start thinking about that was I noticed CD Projekt Red just put out the patch on the PS4 Pro for The Witcher 3. And then obviously I know the Xbox One X is going to get a patch for it, which is kind of the theme for this holiday with a lot of these games. It's yeah, let's update an older game to be able to take advantage of Xbox One X. But like I'm saying, I want to see Halo 6 or Crackdown 3, obviously, when that comes out, or whatever exclusive games that they're going to have for Xbox One X next year. Those are going to be the games that are probably really going to start to take advantage of it.
Do you know, see like third party companies taking advantage of this too?
Of course they will. But just like I brought up PS4 Pro, they have to develop for the least common denominator, right? That's going to be PS4 Pro. You know, we've talked about this in the past. There'll be instances where you'll see developers put in that extra effort to actually squeeze out as much power as they possibly can out of the Xbox One X. But majority of the time, they're going to just make sure, let's get the PS4 Pro version working. And then, you know, obviously we know the Xbox One X version is working. And if we have time left over or resources, yeah, maybe they can squeeze some extra power out of it. But I'm just assuming that's not going to be the norm. That'll be a rarity.
Pete?
I don't know. I'm still on the fence about whether I'm going to even bother to get it. I hope for the best for them. I think it's a right time for them to do this. It's time for Microsoft to get away from, I don't want to say the bad publicity, but I'd say all the negative connotations that Microsoft got a lot of, you know, from the moment that Xbox One came out till today. So, you know, hey, I'm going to say shout out to Arctic Warlocks, our mod on Twitch and on our Discord server. He won one from the Taco Bell promotion, you know, and he's one that isn't a Microsoft, you know, Xbox console owner. So things like that, you know, their Taco Bell initiative and all their advertising they're doing Taco Bell, Doritos and Mountain Dew or something like that. They pulled all of those from the competitors. It looks like they're going in the right direction now, hopefully. And right now I think the games/tech will help foster that. But I'm gonna agree with Paris on this one and say give it a little bit of time, because you don't wanna I don't know if you want to be on that first gen bus anymore these days with the way things have gone with most. And it's not just the Microsoft. I mean, PlayStation's had it, you know, it's something that you always need to be cognizant of with new tech. So, I mean, I still have an Xbox One in my living room. I mean, it's the last time.
And you're getting Battlegrounds for that, right?
Yeah, I'm getting Battlegrounds to play with friends. You know,
actually, we should play too, Pete. You got to show me.
I'll be down. Hey, I would love tips, to. Man. I know you picked it up on Steam and tried to use it on your Mac, and it didn't work out too well on boot camp and all that. It is a CPU intensive thing. So running it in boot camp probably not the best thing. But yeah, I'm definitely going to pick it up. I'd love to Sherpa you through that, you know, on that, and hopefully get you some chicken dinners.
Yeah, definitely, man. That'll be cool. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Because look, today I just got a couple games. Actually, yesterday I received the. Can't talk about it just yet.
You weren't supposed to even say that.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
wow.
I totally forgot. So I got the Shadow of War game. Shadow of War game. That one is.
Wait, I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't get it?
Nope. Well, maybe you need to reach out to a certain Warner Brothers executive, a person in marketing.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting that. But actually, I'm just curious to see how those games are going to look
Well, we
how
know
it's going to look in 4K fishing.
Well, we know. Well, we know how Shadow War looks. We saw it. We saw it at PAX.
But we saw it. But to me, I hope it doesn't look like that. Okay, in 4K. So
this late in development, that's how it looks, Danny. There's no miracle 4K button that they're going to press. I'm like, okay, it's October now. It looks better. They're not doing that.
Right, so now I'm going to counter you on that one, Paris. So when the three of us played it at PAX at that Microsoft Taco Bell event. It didn't look like it should have. You know, they had the Samsung TVs and the whole nine on those kits. We know that games are played in beta or alpha format, but sometimes they've got less artifacts or less assets in the game than they normally should, right? So I know that we've done this with, you know, I know that they've done it for like the Titanfall, you know, Titanfall betas and alphas and stuff like that, where they launch those with 50% less assets. Do you think what we played had less assets, or do you think that that was, you know, that, that they threw the entire asset pack in there?
Okay. I'm gonna answer your question with a question.
Oh boy.
Okay.
That event was meant to get influencers and people that, you know, would go out on social media and talk about, hey, Taco Bell promotion, Xbox One X, Shadow of War, right? So why would you put in front of them a game that did not have final assets or very near to final assets? You want to show it in the best light possible, right?
Yes.
Okay, you answered your question. That's the game, Danny.
Oh, man. So I guess it's not going to look... It's not going to look like Forza.
But at the same time, that's okay, though. As long as the game's amazing and it plays fantastic, who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I'm always pushing that who cares about the whole 4K. But, hey, I'm just saying, you know, now, I don't know. We'll see once the Xbox One X comes out, man. I'm very curious about that.
And let me be clear, since I know I'm labeled, even though I hate it that people say this to me, I'm labeled the angry, salty person. I want Microsoft to succeed. I want the Xbox One X to be a huge hit. I want the Xbox One X to make me have to make life decisions, to make me reconsider what I'm doing. Then we'll go, man,
PowerPoint presentation.
Be like, man, now I know I could play it on my PC, but man, I think I really want to play this in my living room. You know, I want to have that conversation with myself. I want to have the conversation where you guys look at our bank statement and go, Paris, why did you just spend $500 at Best Buy? What did you just buy? And I go, none of your damn business. That's what I just bought. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to have. So, I mean, we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
you're going to see Paris at E3 sweating like, yeah. Oh, man, I think this is the holiday. This is it.
But that's the point. Yeah. That's kind of why I said from the get-go, the hardware is amazing. There's not even a question about the hardware of the Xbox One X. I mean, it is literally, as they have advertised, the most powerful console we've ever seen. And it's honestly not close. You know, if you look at it from a technical standpoint, it just comes back to the games. End of the day. That's all it comes back to. And when I say the games, I'm not talking third-party stuff, because third-party you can play on a PC or a PlayStation. I'm talking games and experiences I can only have on the Xbox. That's what they got to nail in 2018. And if they don't, then they'll have this amazingly powerful piece of hardware, but Sony's going to continue to outsell them 2-1. And that's just reality.
Well, we're going to take a short break. And after this, we're going to play Steep event, Pete, right? Road to the Olympics.
Yep.
We're going to play that on our podcast, so we'll be right back after this.
Not me, because if I'd have got on the plane, it wouldn't have taken off.
Not Paris. Not Paris. Paris was too cool to show up with us. He's like, man, I don't want to show up with Pete and Godfrey and Danny.
After my last airport experience, I was too afraid to even go. I just stayed home.
Oh my god.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
All right, Pete, so we're here checking out Steep Road to the Olympics, and we have a guest, right?
That's correct. We have, and I apologize if I butcher your name, Arno Rago.
Nice.
Wow. All right. Cool. So first, tell me a little bit about yourself, and then let's go into Steep Road to the Olympics.
Okay. So I'm the game director of Steep, and I'm here from the beginning. So I've been on the main game, and now I'm on this expansion. And so basically, I'm oversee everything about design and content in the game.
I know it's been a year since the release of the game, and what are the changes your team have been working on since?
One of our main focus since the release has been to work with the community to understand what they need. So we work with them. We even invite some of them to come to France and discuss with them. And so it defines kind of our focuses. So at the beginning, we had to focus on the freestyle experience. And then they all ask for some for more creative tools, some for more maps. So that's what drive our production focus during the year, yes.
So talking the Olympics, we're talking in the Asia area. I know the original game was set in, you know, you guys have the mountains outside of your office. I remember when we spoke at E3 last year. Were you able to go to Korea and Japan, I believe, to get a visual of what the mountains look like? Did Ubisoft give you that opportunity?
No, sadly, no. First, Korea, because the site is still work in progress. But and Japan, we have a local studio there, and some people of this studio came to ANSI and help us understanding what we are doing right about the Japan, what we are doing wrong. So it helped us a bit. But the rest is more about all our researches, how it feels, the video, internet, the picture, etc., to make sure it feels right.
Great. So one of the things you mentioned in your presentation earlier was that it's not an extreme sports game, that you guys are trying to steer the direction of the game more towards an open world experience. Tell me about what drove the decision to make it something outside of just the standard extreme sports game and try to make this an open world experience.
So actually, it's more than an action sports game. By that, we discovered that as soon as we added new sports into the experience, it takes a whole new direction, and it's opening new perspective over how we can have fun in the mountains. So for us, it's not anymore being too focused on ski, snowboard, or paraglide, or wingsuit, but more expanding our horizons to make sure we can find all the ways we can have fun in the mountain, and Steep Road to the Olympics is the first example of that.
I know this also is coming up for the Switch, Nintendo Switch. Is it going to be the same type of content too for those that then haven't played the game yet?
So for sure it will share the same DNA, but that those type of details I can't share them today, but it's still in the work, and but at the moment we are really focused on Road to the Olympics.
Right. And this is the first time you're also adding story mode in this, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
So that's more something that came to us. As I said, it's we met the athletes. They shared with us so many cool little stories. So we wanted to share that with our players. Mm-hmm. So we were wondering how we can include storylines in the game. We have already some small stories with the mountain stories. But here it was the point of putting different stories all together to have a coherent storyline. Mm-hmm. So we'll give more details in the future, but definitely it will be something new in Steep experience following this storyline and having a real motivation to see where it leads you.
Yeah.
Want to know, how was it coming about with an Olympics-driven competition type? Because in some of the gameplay we were doing, it varies based on the style of, let's say, slalom. Where in some kinds of slaloms you can touch the flags, but in others you're not allowed to. Were you guys being able to draw upon the experiences of Olympic competitors, or was that something that you had to do research on?
It's so we started with researches, but actually we quickly realized that we don't get all the tiny details we need to nail this experience. So we decided to meet with athletes. And as soon as they came on site, or as soon as we fly over to meet them, we realize that they bring so much in terms of information, in terms of details, in terms of expertise to help us moving forward in the design of those sports. that it has been such a value for us. And that's working with them that we can put in the game all these tiny details that make each of the sports of the event really unique.
And what has been the reactions from the Olympic competitors that have been able to put input in? Because typically they're not the ones that are, you know, kind of focused on or are able to give the outline or the backgrounds of their experiences as being Olympic competitors. What has their reactions been like?
They've been really excited by the process. Us, we were really, you know, it's kind of an honor to meet those athletes, but they have been really humble and really happy to help us. They were really also excited to discover what's behind the scene when it comes to create a video game. So that's been a really cool collaborative situation.
Yeah, one thing I noticed is the mounds in Japan, totally different than the other mounds. And I was failing big time. But yeah, I was falling everywhere trying to figure that out. But tell us a little bit about that, like the changes you made, like, for example, the mounds in Japan too.
So for us, when we decided to add Japan, it was clear that we need to deliver something that feels different than Alps and Alaska. So we were wondering which direction, but Japan has some obvious landscape that you want to reproduce. Obviously, you have the volcanoes, you have the huge powder, deep powder field. So we wanted to nail that, and we wanted to add some extreme touches to that with really bigger slopes, bigger rocks, so that you can have really impressive jumps. So our point was, oh, we can push a free ride to a new direction, and Japan is our answer about that.
All right, so I need some advice because I'm trying to beat my record because I've been racing the whole time. So what advice you would tell me for, like, for example, if I want to, like, try to get the gold? Because so far I already got the bronze.
Yes.
Bronze medals, but I want to get the gold, man. I'm trying to figure that out, man, how to... So
the point, I think, is obviously you have to spend time understanding and learning the tracks, but the real mastery comes into the input. So you should not push the stick too much on the left or on the right. It's really soft touches, really balancing the pressure you are putting on the stick.
Yeah, because if I press it too much, it will basically stop.
Stop or drift, and you can drift, lose speed.
Okay, so all right, good.
Just really now playing with that.
So in case we haven't covered it, so there's slalom. Let's just go over the additions to the game itself, because I don't think we've talked about that. So we have slalom. We have competitive or parallel slalom, so it's you're racing a ghost or you're racing another competitor. I know there's been, my favorite has been snowboarding, and the only reason I say it's favorite is because the only one I'm actually doing well at. What are the other competencies that have been brought into Road to the Olympics?
So we had big air. It's really the how you can master the tricks and make sure you can land the biggest trick on one jump. We have half pipes, and this is about chaining tricks in the pipe. This is one really spectacular, and we put a lot of effort to improve the half pipe experience overall, that means even in the Alps. And then we introduce for the first time slopestyle. So slopestyle is a mix of tricks, but also we included the rails and grind gameplay. That's something that was missing from the original game that the community has requested a lot, and we put it in this expansion. So it open up a new range of tricks in the experience. So there is a lot of depth to explore to improve your performance. So that was for freestyle. But then for halfpipe, we have downhill, we have giant slalom, we have slalom, and we have super G. And we even also added three other sports. So we have giant parallel slalom in snowboard, which is a kind of really spectacular race against another opponent. And then we have ski and border cross. This one are really cool because you are basically fighting against three other opponents in a race with a lot of bumps. So it's super fun to play, yes.
And one other thing that I know has been real key from the beginning was your support of content creators with the ability to record and go with different viewpoints. Have you made any changes to that part of the game?
Yes, so and that one example we had with working with the community. So we try to understand what are their needs when it comes to create content. So I think a few months after the release of the game, we added more camera, more option into the replay so that they have more freedom into creating videos. And we plan future improvements with them in the near future also.
I want to go back to the story. I know you can't say much, but how was it working on that in a game like this, like the world is pretty big. So was that challenging for you guys to work on that?
I think yes, it has been a challenge because we are a game where we really want players to have the freedom to do anything. And story, it's drive players following several specific steps. So we were wondering how we can mix that together. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you will keep all the freedom to do whatever you want. But whenever you want, we can pick up a next step in the story and move forward in your path to this objective. The point was to create a strong motivation for the players and then kind of drive in throughout different content we have selected to build this story.
All right. Anything else? I think that's...
I just wanted to know, when can we expect, you know, the release of Road to the Olympics?
So Road to the Olympics will be released on December the 5th this year.
Congrats. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Very challenging.
Very challenging, but it was a lot of fun, though.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you very much. No problem. Bye.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Has anyone played Fortnite Battle Royale yet? Peter?
Yes, I have.
I didn't ask you. Nope. I asked Peter.
Nope.
Wow, nope. You said no. Has anybody?
I know. No, all jokes aside, I mean, have you played it? I mean, how do you like it?
No, I haven't. I have not.
Now, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Danny because Danny.
Oh, goddamn it. Make up a goddamn mind, man. You keep switching up.
You're switching. Man. Oh, man. Yeah, I played it. It looks fun. I just don't see myself playing in a long time. I prefer the other game that you could play single player and multiplayer. Battle Royale for that, I'm not a fan of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. But there's people that do like it. I think right now they have, in just 2 weeks, thanks to the press release from Bluehole, 10 million already people registered already playing that game.
Yeah, and how many people are still playing it now? We're going to go there now, because now you're done.
Here's the thing.
You got me in my feelings. You're talking about Play Unknown.
No, but okay, how long Battlegrounds been around?
Since April.
Okay, how long been Fortnite been around? Been a couple, not even 2 months. Not even 2 months.
But it's so Fortnite you gotta isn't understand, all that that's relevant anymore. I don't want to say Fortnite's not relevant anymore, but there was a blip on the overall map, because I remember just a couple of weeks ago you were like, oh, you know they overtook for like a day on one night on, you know, the number of people that were playing or watching you know, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds versus Fortnite Battle Royale. Now they're nowhere even now on the list. So
No, time out, Pete.
Let's not try to make that comparison.
I've never said that they were going to be more popular than Battlegrounds. I've never said that. What I said is for them sending that stupid press release talking about, oh, you guys are copying us, you're basically promoting that game, and it's helped them to reach now 10 million registered players now because of that. If it wasn't for that, it would have been, yeah, they got a couple millions there and that's it, but not 10 million.
But how many of those are still playing the game?
Peep, that wasn't a conversation, what I was telling you. I said they're right now number one that day because of that, because of the controversy, because of Bluehole promoting it. They promoted that game. They promoted that feature.
Yeah,
they
I
promoted
agree.
That mode. It's the truth.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Bluehole is the one to blame that they got so much early buzz about this and got 10 million people. But at the same time, like Pete is alluding to, I highly doubt they're retaining 10 million people that'll be playing this game.
Right. You know? That's why I said it's a blip. It's a small sample size against, you know, the giant that is PUBG now. Right. And I know that there have been some industry, you know, analysts that are saying that it's been on the decline, but if you look at the numbers don't lie. Right. Some people are showing specific stats. I'm not going to throw out names or anything, but some analysts are saying that, oh, PUBG overall is in decline. But if you look at the numbers, they are still growing by leaps and bounds on overall numbers nightly. They went from what, 1.7 to over 2 million players at one point in time. in a 1 day period. You're growing 300,000 in a day or two. You can't compare that.
Question. And I'm totally stealing this from IGN Unlocked because I had this conversation, I think, last week talking about PUBG. It's coming to Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
In the short term, it's going to be a massive hit. I don't think there's any question about that. Are we still talking about PUBG 2 years from now, 3 years from now? Do you think it will have lasting, it'll last, it'll have sustainability? Even, you know, because I'm sure there'll be new maps and obviously that coming out, but will it be able to hold this mass appeal that it has right now? Or as we see more and more copycats come along the way, will that take away from the core experience? And I'm asking you as if you work for them, but you play it damn long enough, so you might as well.
I might as well get a check for as much as I talk about and play the game, right? I honestly think so. I think it's the evolution of the Battle Royale system. It's you've already seen the growth of it going from Arma to DayZ to H1Z1 to PUBG. I think it has that lasting opportunity. So I really do. And if it doesn't, then, you know, I'll admit that I was wrong and go back to playing playing whatever's new and hot and catches my fancy. But for right now, I do think that they've got the right recipe for success. Hopefully they get rid of the hackers in China because the Asian servers are death. But I think between the current rate of development, the way that they're iterating and optimizing the game, all of this additional, you know, whatever revenue they got from this contract with Microsoft, you know, to help them and so on and so forth. Plus, you're going to be adding on hundreds of thousands of people playing on Xbox One X or Xbox One. Dude, you've got a really, really good opportunity with this game. We've already seen and heard from Brendan Green saying that, yes, it's one of their goals in their timeline to go towards esports. We've seen some of the things on esports invitationals, whether it was the Intel Extreme Gamescom. They had the invitational and people were watching it on Twitch and stuff like that. So it has an opportunity. Yes, in the grand scheme of things, it's the baby right now when you're talking esports between League of Legends, et cetera, Call of Duty, and so on and so forth. Yes, it's the baby, but it's growing by leaps and bounds. And if they can continue going in that route, they absolutely have a chance.
What do you think, Danny? I think I'm a moderator now. I don't know what I'm doing, but go ahead, Danny.
Thanks.
Do you think? Yeah, being you
I
today.
Think it all depends the type of updates that they have, or if there's a bigger game comes out in 2 years that's gonna take away the attention from all the games that are getting all the attention now. That's possible too, man. Because look, honestly, last year, whoever thought about Battlegrounds, 2 years ago, or when Xbox One and PlayStation 4 came out, like nobody was even thinking about that. There's always going to be new games comes out every year or two that's going to get a lot of attention from the gamers, man. So we'll see. I mean, if they update this all the time, then yeah. And who knows? Maybe this will come out on the PlayStation 4. Maybe on the Switch.
We know that there was an article the other day that mentioned it, that I believe that they had started talks with Sony. That in there. Who knows? Maybe we might even see Paris on the console version because we know he's not going to be on the PC version.
Okay. First of all, don't say that because how dare you make such a reference to me? Secondly, see, Danny, this is how we know Pete doesn't listen to the podcast when he's not on it, because we literally had this discussion when he wasn't on a podcast. See?
Yeah, we did.
So
we did.
I'm just putting that out there, but you can go ahead with that, Pete. But on the real, all jokes aside, I think for this to reach mass appeal, it can't just be an Xbox exclusive on the console. It will have to come to PlayStation. And like you said, I'd love to see it on a Switch too. I think that would actually be an interesting concept to be able to have PUBG mobile, you know, being able to play it on a Switch. But if it's truly going to reach that mass appeal though, it's got to go true third party across consoles.
Do you think it's possible for them to work on this on the Switch?
I don't think so.
Hey, I let's put it this way. I bet you they'd love to try. But if it was up to Microsoft and their war chest, that'll never happen.
They were like, hell no, I want you to stay here. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's possible. From a technical perspective, I don't think that the Switch has the CPU or whatnot to handle a game like that. Is it out of the realm of possibility? I'm not going to say it's 100% no.
I mean, I could mention games right now that I'm like in shock that's coming up for the Switch. Doom.
And how many years has that game been under development for the Switch?
6 months.
And with and the size of their development staff in comparison
What? Okay, you guys keep calling me salty, and I'm looking right into the camera, Twitch fam. Y'all call me salty. Pete is on fire today. Anything we talk about, he is just negative as hell. Everything. Nah, that ain't working on dope. You ain't taking my game and putting it on the damn Switch. No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's funny. And plus, Elder Scrolls.
What did you just say?
Did I say Elder Scrolls? Dude, what I just said.
I don't know what you said. Elder Scrolls. Oh, I don't even know what game that is.
No, but honestly, Oblivion.
Oblivion. I'm sorry. The Twitch chat. We got to acknowledge the Twitch chat. Someone just said
Edward Scrolls. That's good. Oh, Edgar Scrolls. What else we have here? Edgar Pooh.
Oh my God. Oh, that hurt my chest.
That was good.
You gotta leave
that in. You gotta leave that in. Oh my God.
And this is what happens when you're on the front page of Twitch. Oh man, this is hilarious. Too funny, man. Egg rolls.
I don't even know what we're talking about at this point. Changing subjects, Nintendo Switch. The more I see a Mario Odyssey, the more that, my God, that just might be the game of the year. It might be. This might be the definitive Mario 3D platformer. It's just, I think they're taking it to another level with what they've shown so far. I'm super excited for it.
Have you seen the musical promo commercial?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes. Dude. It's like, it's really good.
Yeah.
And this is what happened to me this morning. I turned on my Nintendo Switch. I'm like, let's see what's going on. You know, I checked out the eShop and everything. Yo, and I'm like, there's a couple people playing. Let me see who's on. And yo, I had like three people playing Mario Odyssey right now. I was like, I gotta wait a couple more weeks.
Well,
you
can play Edward Squalls while you're waiting.
Edward. Oh my God. That's a good one. That's a classic. It's classic. Nothing tops Let Me Dream. Nothing's gonna top that though. Let's be real.
I have no more words. I don't know. Do we want to continue the show? Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, we can continue.
Actually, we're at the hour mark. All right. Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right. Head over to GamertagWeird.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on different places, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other podcast directories. Check us out. Share with your friends if you can. Review us on iTunes and all that. If you can, that will help us big time. Also, watch us live on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/GamerTagRadio. Follow us over there, too. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.